And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show. I am Rob Strauss, joined by Ted Kosineski, and as always, Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, another big night ahead of you. First, let's talk about the last game. A very rainy, wet, uncomfortable, muddy, any bad adjective you can use, really use to describe that game. You guys came out with a victory for the first time in quite some time. Tell us a little bit about that game.
It was really exciting for Sterling High School and this community, for our kids to go out and perform the way they did in the conditions that we played in, and our backs were up against the wall several times, and we just kept fighting the same thing we keep preaching all the time, Sterling football. And it was great to leave there Friday night with a victory against Haddonfield, you know, beating them 13-0. That's a major step in the right direction for our football program, and couldn't be prouder of a group of young men than the way they showed what they showed how Sterling football can be played and will be played hopefully throughout the years to come.
The thing I'll remember about that game, and usually I talk about offense, so this is going to be a strange one. First and goal, your team held them back. I thought that was the key point in the game. Talk a little about your defense, especially during that first and goal series.
Yeah, I mean, Ted, I thought our defense played really well, and we did. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Haddonfield had the ball at least five times inside our 40. Yeah. We gave them the ball on a 15-yard line with a snapping the ball right over the punter's head. They also have had some nice drives, but when it was crunch time, our kids were able to step up and make some big plays. And I agree with you. One of the big stands of the night was that fourth and goal, I think, on our 5-yard line. And we did a great job of defending them. And I thought our defense came away with a lot more confidence now, and hopefully that'll lead into tonight's game.
Why has the defense been so strong this year? I mean, that was a pretty good offensive Haddonfield team.
Really good offensive.
What are the differences between last year and this year? Why so good this year?
I think our kids are believing, and I think just another year in the program, another year in the philosophy of running the same defense. I mean, like I stated before, I think one of the good things we've done here defensively, we've run the same system for over the last 3 years. And one of my major concerns with this team coming up was our defense. We lost 9 really good football players last year. We only have 2 returning defensive players off of last year's team. And the younger kids are stepping up and playing really well. And I think we're running to the football. We're physical. We're getting off blocks. We're tackling well. I mean, it's the emphasis that we stress all the time and work on all the time in practice is you got to be able to tackle. You know, great teams tackle and keep everybody in front of you. If you give up the big plays, then you got a chance to put yourself in a bad situation. And that's what we're hoping for tonight. I mean, like we said, West Effort's a good team. They're going to get their yardage. They're going to run the ball. They're going to move the ball. But what's the key is when our back's up against the wall, like we showed last Friday against Haddonfield, we need to come up with a stop. And who's that going to be? Well, we got 11 guys I think can play pretty good defense and can make a play. We just don't have one standout. I think we have a good team.
Coach, what was the turning point you thought of Friday night's game against Haddonfield? You mentioned the 4th and 5 defensive stand, a couple turnovers that we got, we took advantage of. What, to you from a coaching standpoint, was the turn of the game that really pushed the momentum forward?
Well, I think the first series of the game was very important for us to go out and set the tempo. And, we preached all week. We prepared these kids all week for the weather conditions. And I've stressed to those guys, like I mentioned last week on the show, it's all about your mental approach to this game. Yes, it's muddy out there. Yes, it's raining. But both teams got to play in it. If you can get your mind straight and get your mind set, hey, no matter what, we're going out there and playing Sterling football, then you got a chance to play. And I thought it was very important for our team once we won the toss. And defensively, I mean, probably as a coach, I probably should have elected to kick off. But what have we been doing week in and week out? We receive the ball. Anytime we win a toss, we always want the ball. So we said, why change it? And, it was really good for us to come out that first drive, 3 plays, 4 plays later, and Devon hit that one for 61 yards. And I think that set the tempo. I think that put Haddonfield back on their heels a little bit. And I think our kids came out. And then the other point was I think our defense just played really, really well. No matter where the ball was at, what conditions we put our defense in, our kids stepped up and played really exceptional defense.
Talk to us a little bit more about that. You just mentioned Devon Tucker and the evolution, if you will, of Devon Tucker from the beginning of the season where he was hampered with that injury to now where he is the leading rusher on the team and really was responsible for basically winning the entire Haddonfield game. Broke off a couple 60-plus yard runs. Talk to us a little bit about the evolution of Devon over the last several years that you've been coaching.
Well, Devon Tucker's a special young man. First of all, Rob, I just want to disagree with you. There's just not one guy on this team who's going to win football games for us. It's a team. It's a team effort, and if anybody understands that more than anybody, it's Devon Tucker. And that's what I always say. Sometimes, you know, sacrificing your own individual attention, rewards for the team, you'll understand the team's bigger than anybody in this program. We preach that all the time. Like, something happens to me, we're still going to play Friday night. You know, there's not one guy is going to run this team. And Devon's bought into that. And it all started last year. I mean, first of all, when he came into this school, Devon Tucker we got him playing football. He never wrestled before in his life. After the football season, I made all the kids. You got to pick a sport. You got to pick football or you got to pick basketball. I mean, you got to pick wrestling or you got to pick basketball. You know, Devon said, I don't want to wrestle. I said, that's the best thing for you. Make you a better football player. The kid went in and now he's a 2-year starter on a wrestling team. Last year, I knew this kid was the fastest kid in our school, but he didn't want to run track. So I went up to Coach Shep and said, hey, Shep, I got a guy for you. But I said, he wants to lift weights. He wants to still get bigger. Will you be willing to work with him? I'm going to make him, you know, run track. And he's like, yeah, we'll take anybody. Well, the kid went out the first track meet, ran a 10.8, 100-meter dash. You know, so there's a kid who's bought into our philosophy. He's bought into me and what I'm preaching and trying to help him with the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that kid wants to go to college and play Division I football, and he has all the ability in it. And it goes back to last football season. Hey, Devon, we're hurting right now on the offensive line. We need somebody to step up. I think you're a tough young man, and you can help us win games if you play offensive line. Your time will come next year. Will you do this for team? No problem, coach. I'll do whatever it takes. That's what makes that kid so special is he understands the team is bigger than him.
Let's talk a little bit of line. The Inquirer had a nice article today on one of your players. Talk a little bit about that and some of the players on your line.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Philadelphia Inquirer did a great special on JT, Jaquan Thompson. And the thing that's so nice about that, because normally the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they don't get recognized. And any time we have the opportunity to get in a newspaper, on television, this is great exposure for Sterling High School and the community. But the Inquirer did a nice article on JT, talked about the trenches, talking about the young man, how he's been committed to the football program, how he's a tough, hard-nosed kid who's very quick and has been making great plays for us. I mean, if you want to talk about anything about our defense, it's the guys up front. You know, Tony Pileski's been doing a great job. JT's been doing a great job up front. And Brian Mahade's been doing a great job. Joe Woods, Matt Dougherty, guys who've been playing defensively up front for us has really helped our second-level guys make a lot of plays. But it was great to see a great article by a young man. If you had the chance to read the article, you'll understand why this young man's so special. I mean, he once again puts the team first. He enjoys blocking on the offensive line for our guys. He enjoys making plays and, you know, doing all the dirty work. That's what big guys need to do up front on the offensive defensive side is they got to do the dirty work, and hopefully they can also make some plays. And JT's had a great year. It was a great quote by Clyde Folsom, the head coach of West Deptford, saying JT's the best defensive lineman he's seen this year. And that's credit, I mean, because Clyde's a great football coach, been around a long time, and for him to be able to say that about JT, hopefully he's right and he shows Clyde tonight how good JT possibly can be because we're going to ride him. I mean, he's a guy up front. He's an anchor, and he's a 3-year starter for us who's only a junior, and he has a bright future. He's a young man also that's bought into lifting weights, getting involved in our wrestling program, and even though he's 5'11", 265 pounds, I think the kid has a chance to play Division I football. And like I always say, you can't control your height, but you can control how thick, how strong you are, and only the good Lord can control your height. So, you know, JT's been working hard, and you know, one of the things nice about JT is he's a great kid, and he always has a smile on his face. He's like, he's the jokester of the team, but our kids really enjoy being around him, and you know, and he's a great teammate.
Coach, tell us a little bit after your Gatorade bath on Friday night. Afterwards, you got a chance to meet at midfield as you normally do after games with head coaches, and what was anything said between you and the Haddonfield coach in terms of hey. Congrats. I know it's a big rivalry, Haddonfield and Sterling. I know the coaches are probably a lot closer than the players are. But, you know, what was said in between you guys?
Frank just said, hey, great job. Congratulations. You guys well deserved. And then we didn't get a chance to talk a lot there because at that time, that's when our kids came up and tried to dump water on me. I didn't even see them coming. I saw Frank back it up, and I was like, what's going on, wham? And then I got hit with the water. But Frank's a guy who I've been friends with for the long time when I was at Villanova, and and Frank's done an unbelievable job turning his program around. And I just want to be just like Frank, how he turned around Haddonfield, and Clyde Folsom, how he turned around West Effort. That's what I want to do here at Sterling High School. But those are guys I give a lot of credit to, and I respect a lot because they put a lot of time in. They work hard, and they do a great job for their school and their community also.
What did you learn about your team coming out of the Haddonfield game? There's something you may have not thought of, whether it be good, hopefully good, if not bad. What are some things you might have picked up? Because that was your first major challenge of the year.
Yeah. I thought we were a tough team. I said that last year about our team last year, that we were tough, and then our kids played hard. And the thing we've been preaching as a staff, and our kids are buying into it, and it was great for them to show it, was finish four quarters. That was our big thing from last year. We didn't finish the year before. Where this year, our whole theme and everything we do at practice, you know, even though the fourth quarter, we start playing that music, jump around, you know, and trying to make it a little exciting for the kids and the fans also. But our theme is, you know, what quarter is this? And everybody's yelling fourth quarter. And then we say Sterling football, and they yell finish. You know, and that's the thing, what we do when you see us on the sidelines there in between the third and fourth quarter with our hands up, with four fingers up, you know, our kids were yelling out fourth quarter and finish. And that's the one thing that I think everything we've worked hard up to this point, it was nice to see us finish that game on Friday night, because Haddonfield had great field position, especially in that fourth quarter. This whole second half, they had great field position. But, you know, our kids were backed up. Like we always said, when you go out on defense, it doesn't matter if the ball's on a one-inch line or it's on the 50-yard line. You have to play. You have to stop them. That's your job. It's not you to point the finger at the offense. They need to do a better job, whatever. That's one thing about nice playing defense. You have to go out and do your job no matter where that ball's at. And, you know, I walked away from that game. One, it was awesome for our football program. It was awesome for our kids. It was awesome for our alumni, guys who played here before. And hopefully it's going to be great for the kids who play here after. But I thought we were a tough team to finish. And the things that we've been preaching, you got to be tough and you got to finish games. And couldn't have been more excited about a group of young men the way, you know, we came, you know, came away Friday night against Haddonfield.
Coach, you come into this game 4-0. Before we get to Haddonfield a little bit, tell the listeners at home a little bit about how the playoff system works with PowerPoints and whatnot and where we stand currently, if you've looked at that far.
Rob, you can maybe help me because I am dead serious. I have no clue. The only thing I do know, they take the top eight teams, okay, in Group 2. And at the end of the year, after you play all your games, it's good to win more than you lose. You get points, I guess, for every team that like if we play Haddonfield. I don't even know how we do it, but they've won three games prior to us. We get points for beating them because they're a Group 2 school, so you get points for the group, if you're a Group 1, Group 2, or Group 3, and then how many wins they have won. And every time that they win, I think you get an extra point. But I'm not 100% on it. Tad, you may be able to help me out here.
I had two conversations with one of the Inquirer reporters and somebody else, and they said something that is actually coming in new this year. It does count as eight. Each school is going to get to drop their lowest point game.
Right.
So you're going to drop your lowest point game. Then I said, well, it doesn't seem fair for the Colonial Conference team because we're playing all ones and twos. Mm-hmm. Their opinion was of this new system was, as long as you're playing teams on your schedule that have a reasonable amount of wins, that shouldn't be a factor. Mm-hmm. Now, games that are going to – and I'll speak for Coach, because the games that are going to end up hurting Sterling in the long run are beating teams. It's good that you win, mm-hmm. but teams that don't help you with their wins. Like our Lindenwald team, if they go on and win 0-1 game, that's a game that's going to really hurt you. Mm-hmm. As opposed to playing – if you would happen to play a team like Paulsboro, even though they're Group 1, if they win six games, you can get just as many points, believe it or not, as beating a team with the Group 3 that has no points because they've de-emphasized – with the actual the groups.
Right.
So the reporters were emphasizing to me it's better to beat teams with high winning records
right.
than it is necessarily to, like, I guess Buna might play Vineland,
right.
who's a Group 4. Mm-hmm. I said that example. They said, well, not necessarily because Vineland might have 0 or 1 wins coming into it. Mm-hmm. So that factor has changed. So one is you're going to drop your lowest point score. The thing that's going to hurt Sterling as they go into this is teams that don't have enough wins on their schedule. But that's going to affect West Effort. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect us.
Right.
It's going to affect Haddonfield. Now, teams like Cedar Creek,
who knows?
It will help Camden a little bit, who is a Group 2 this year.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because they're playing big teams, but some of the teams they're playing have some sizable wins to them.
Right.
So they say Camden is one team that is going to kind of be the fly in the unit. But all the Colonial teams as Group 2 – Marcana going to be in the same group.
And the reason I bring this up is because we did play West Deptford as part of our Colonial Conference schedule last year at home. A pretty good game, and they pulled away. West Deptford pulled away at the end a little bit.
Right.
But then we faced them in the first round of the playoffs last year and back at their place, and they took it to us. However, you know, and that brings up the rematch with West Deptford tonight.
Mm-hmm. And before you get into that, Coach, if you think about Haddonfield last year, the difference between us getting in and Haddonfield not getting in is they had Haddon Heights as their ninth game. So that didn't count getting in there.
Correct.
Even though we lost to Haddon Heights, we got points from Haddon Heights because we played them on our schedule. That was the difference between us getting in and Haddon Heights not getting in at that point.
Right, Haddonfield. And also we beat Paulsboro. And I think Haddonfield lost
the Paulsboro.
So it was the points-wise. And you're right about Haddon Heights also. Here's what I do know. We got to play our games. We can't complain about our schedule. Who we got to play, we got to play. And I just try to keep preaching to the kids that the next game is the most important game. And I don't care who it is. If you take care of your schedule week one by week one, and then you focus on after you win that game, you focus on week two. If you continue to do that, then things will play itself out. You can't worry and dwell on things you can't really control. And that's what we continue to preach about it. And, like, this week is the biggest game of our season. Why? Because it's the next one. Not because it's West Deptford, because it's the next one. And our kids bought into that, and hopefully they understand that. Because if we go in there tonight saying, man, this is the game, this is the only game of the season, if we don't win this, it's over. No, that's not the case. This is game number five. Because we got game number six, game number seven, game number eight. There's a lot more games got to be played this year. So you can't just put everything in the one game and hopefully you win that game. Because what happens if you lose that game? You know, now you got kids that are down and out. Hey, if you win, you win. That's great. You move on to game number six. That's what we're trying to preach to these kids, and that's what our focus has been all week. Take care of business. Now, on the back of their minds, they're teenagers. I understand that. They want to play West Deptford. We want to beat West Deptford. Yeah. The last time, the kids know this, the last time a Sterling team beat West Deptford was the same exact season they beat Haddonfield first. You know, and that's, they understand the history here. That's what we preach. We try to preach the history all the time, these guys. They need to know about Sterling football in the past and where it's at now and where it's going to be. And, you know, so I'm excited about tonight. And the big thing is playoffs are playoffs. Hopefully we'll get there. But we got to play week five. And that's what we got tonight.
All right. We're going to talk about West Deptford now.
Yep.
Now, we all knew leaving last season about Gerald Owens, his history. He had a tremendous championship game. The thing that took me back looking at their stats, he doesn't necessarily have the best stats on the team. They have three or four guys, at least three guys that run the ball. Tell us a little about West Deptford offensively. What are we going to see out of West Deptford?
We're going to see the wing tee offense. Clyde Folsom's been running this offense for 23 years. I think they're better offensively this year than they were last year at this time. I think it'd be a lot because of their offensive line. Those kids have been, you know, since they've been Pop Warner football, been running this offense. But I think his offensive line's a lot stronger this year, bigger guys up front. And then the thing with Owens, he's a great running back, but Owens was in the same situation as Devon Tucker. He has a high ankle sprain, so that's why you don't see his numbers as high as some of the other kids. Matter of fact, he set out the Overbrook game, didn't even dress for the Overbrook game. He had a high ankle sprain. Last week he came back against Collinswood and had some pretty good yardage.
Okay.
Our linebackers need to key their guards. Anytime you're going to see a lot of motion, you're going to see a lot of direction going one way, then misdirection plays coming back. What our kids need to do is they need to take their eyes out of the backfield and keep their eyes on the offensive linemen, and they'll take them to them, and believe in their keys and believe in their reads. The linebackers are very critical in this. At our second level, I'm talking about linebackers, safeties, and our third level are very important in stopping these guys because a lot of it goes back to the keeping their eyes on their keys, not the backfield. Because you're going to see a lot of different motion back and forth. You're going to see jet motion, which is straight across right behind the quarterback. Or you're going to see rocket motion, which is a little bit deeper where teams like to toss the ball outside, you know, watching us. That's what we do a lot of. But more importantly, for the second level guys, their eyes can't be on that back. They got to be more on their keys. Majority of our team tonight is going to be keying the guards.
How hard is it to convince young men? Guys, like you said, it's another game.
Yep.
It's game. I mean, do you feel that they've stayed with the system, even though this is a big week for them?
This is, yeah. We've had a great week of practice. I mean, kids have been focused, working hard. Like I said to you guys earlier, and I can't stress this enough, I like coaching these guys. These are a good group of young men that have bought into the philosophy. I don't have the headaches I used to deal with. And that's part of building a program. Hey, guys, you're on the bus or you're not on the bus, okay? This bus is going forward with or without you. You know, and that's where my first 2 years was straightening that bus up, getting the guys on the bus. And now, hey, because of graduation, we lost some of those guys on the bus. Now we got new freshmen coming here, new sophomores coming in here on the bus, and it's been an easier job for me. And that's what you're hoping for. And that's what happens when you build a program and the kids understand it and they want to be a part of something pretty special. And I think it could be pretty special. Maybe this year, maybe next year. You just never know. But all we got to focus on tonight is this game against West Deptford. It's the biggest game of our season because it's the next game. Now, also what brings it makes it a pretty interesting game. This could be for the conference championship. This is a 25-game winning streak for West Deptford. This is on CNA tonight. This is a great opportunity for Sterling High School, Sterling community, to be at a game, get an opportunity to be on television, and support your team. I hope we have a great turnout tonight from our student body because I think it's very important for our school and our community to be out there tonight supporting these young men. They've worked hard, and that's what we talk to kids about. It's about opportunities in life. They have worked so hard for the last 2 years, the summer for this opportunity. And that's all you can ask for in life is have an opportunity. Do you make the most of that opportunity or do you let it slip right through your hands? And that's the thing we talked about yesterday with the kids. You got the best opportunity you've ever asked for. They've had to go through a tradition of, a transition of a new coach, new philosophy, building this program for this opportunity. Can you imagine, like I said to those guys, last Saturday we woke up, Sterling High School was on the front page of the Courier Post. How great was that? And all the kids were excited. How great you opened up the Philadelphia Choir today. There's a great story about JT Thompson. How great is it? Tonight, we're on CNA, which is all on the East Coast here. Just imagine where we were at 2 years ago. And they have worked hard. They bought into it. They've had to deal with me being tough on them and understand, hey, we can get here. This is our expectations of Sterling football, is to play on television, play for championships. And, God, tonight is the opportunity. I just hope these young men go out and seek the opportunity.
Awesome. Coach, well, thank you so much for spending some time with us today, and best of luck tonight against West Deptford.
Hey, thanks for everything you guys do. Go Knights.
All right, coming up next is live game coverage with myself, Mr. K, and Mr. Schulz. It's going to wrap it up for the coaches' show. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back from the break, live action right here on Sterling High School Radio.
Rebounded
by
Terry
Crisman. Looks like he's fouled there. Puts up a desperation shot.
And he goes in! It's good! It's good!
Terry Crisman going to win the game! Terry Crisman,
you're going to be kidding me!
As Sterling upsets the Delsey Crusaders!
You have got to be kidding me!
First and goal from the four. Preston Harrison going to run out. He's 4 yards away from pay dirt. Passes it complete. The touchdown! Marcus Taylor from Preston Harrison.
They got to shoot it. Kylie, shot.
Here we go. Sterling trying to slam it home.
Sterling, the group 2 champ.
Connor Walsh inbounds to Marcus Taylor. 5 seconds left to go. Marcus Taylor all the way up the floor. Takes a shot. And it's good! Marcus Taylor at the buzzer. And it's over. Marcus Taylor hits a shot at the buzzer. Sterling wins 50-49.
5 seconds left, tied at 52. The inbound, Schmitz got it.
Got it! He got it! To win the ball game, Kate Smith!
And now, Sterling Radio presents live coverage of Sterling High School sports right here on the one and only WSHS Sterling High School Radio.